It's Here and Now. Questions about Russian interference in not just the U.S. election, but democratic elections around the world. Their seizing of Crimea, not to mention accusations that Russian President Putin has his opponents poisoned. Well, this is all not doing much to help the image that most Americans have of Russians. Come on, admit it. It's this.
You are not here to ask questions. You forget to whom you're speaking.
Rosa Klebb from the 1963 Bond movie From Russia with Love. Then there's this.
I'm going to bed. And we'll talk more as soon as you...
No, not as soon as...
Please, Carrie.
Oh! Mikhail Baryshnikov in 2004 is the cold Russian boyfriend slapping Carrie Bradshaw in Sex and the City. And, of course, there's this guy.
Oh, no, it isn't... Oh, it can't be.
Say the name.
Boris and Natasha.
Ta-da!
Then we steal Matris, Boris.
Boris Badenov, who with his fellow spy, Natasha Fatale, took orders from Fearless Leader and Mr. Big and an arch enemy of Rocky and Bullwinkle. Do we process our feelings about Russia through our culture? It's serious business in the news, but let's have some fun with this with Harlow Robinson, history professor at Northeastern University, author of Russians in Hollywood, Hollywood's Russians. He joins us now. Professor Robinson, hello.
Hi there, Robin.
And we should say Boris and Natasha were actually spying for the fictional nation of Pottsylvania, but no one was fooled. So how did... Right. But how did this happen? You say the fear and fascination began with the 1917 Bolshevik Revolution, the Tsar and his family murdered, the communist Bolsheviks' further goal was to overthrow capitalism. And this coincided with the birth of the American film industry, so there were movies made then. But move towards the 20s and 30s. What happened then?
Well, you know, the 1930s is interesting in that there was some positive feeling about the Soviet Union during the Depression, because that was the period when the American Communist Party was actually at its height. And there was a great deal of interest in Hollywood in trying to portray this a great new experiment in the Soviet Union. Ninochka in the late 1930s is a satire. You know, it was made by Ernst Lubitsch, who had gone to the Soviet Union, and he was very disillusioned with what he saw. And he came back and made this satire about communism, and in the portrayal of Greta Garbo as this very uptight Soviet commissar who goes to Paris and is converted to capitalism.
Right, she's a great line. We have the high ideals, but they have the climate.
Right.
Let's listen to a scene from Ninochka.
May I have your bags, madame?
Why?
He's a potter. He wants to carry them.
Why? Why should you carry other people's bags?
Well, that's my business, madame.
That's no business. That's social injustice.
That depends on the tip.
So then we continue through the World War II period, and you tell us that Roosevelt actually pushed studios to produce films that celebrated Russians because the Soviets were fighting the Nazis.
That's right. And the major studios all complied, and they produced some very bad films, actually, you'd have to say. North Star, which is actually written by Lillian Hellman and has a score by Aaron Copland, directed by Louis Milestone, who was a Russian-American. And it's set on the eve of the Nazi invasion in a Soviet village, and the people are wonderful. They're dancing and singing Broadway style, and then the Nazis arrive.
But then we go to the post-war films.
Very quickly, the atmosphere changed with the announcement of the Cold War, films vilifying Russians. In fact, communists were shown as basically being insane people.
Well, but where does Dr. Zhivago fit into this picture? 1965's Dr. Zhivago. Yeah. Let's just listen to a little of the theme. Now, we know you fell in love with the Russian culture, as many did, in 65, watching Dr. Zhivago. The book by Boris Pasternak, directed by David Lean, the music here by Maurice Jarret, starring Omar Sharif, Julie Christie, set in the First World War and the Russian Revolution. What spoke to you about this film, and what is it telling us at this point about how Americans feel about Russian culture?
Well, Dr. Zhivago was a very important film because it was the first big Hollywood film that really tried to present a balanced picture of what had happened in Russia during World War I and in the revolution. Dr. Zhivago did provide a good service in humanizing the Soviet Union for many people.
So Americans trying to work out their feelings about the Russians and maybe humanize them there in Dr. Zhivago, and maybe the next year even more humanize them, or maybe even cut them down to size. In The Russians Are Coming, The Russians Are Coming, 1966, Alan Arkin, an officer on a Russian submarine that's purposely grounded off New England because the captain wants to see America. Here's Arkin coaching his crew on how to appear to be normal Americans trying to clear a route through the town.
Emergency, everybody to get from street. Хорошо, подберите все места. Emergency, everybody.
Nobody would think they were Russian. It's just so funny. They meet up with a vacationing Carl Reiner. Jonathan Winters is a bumbling police officer. Please download this movie. But what was this about? Not at all threatening.
Yes, well, after all, this is the late 60s. Make love, not war. So there were films that came out during this period that sort of were trying to puncture the Cold War hostility. And remember the way that film ends is a boy is up on the top of a steeple and the Soviet sailors who are there and the Americans all join together to save him. You know, there were other satires as well. Think of Dr. Strangelove, which is very different, but also an attempt by Stanley Kubrick to puncture the Cold War hostility.
Go to the 80s. A Ronald Reagan president in 1984, building up the country's weapons stores to battle the frightening Soviets. At the same time, the 1984 film Red Dawn, you know, a football star is going out to beat the Russians who've invaded Midwestern America. Here's a clip.
It's World War III down there. People are being killed. Those could be Russians.
So it seems like the culture was sort of backing the policy. But then we come to the end of the Cold War, 1991. The wall has fallen. Russia is exposed as a bit of a paper giant. So did the Russian image get a makeover once the Soviet Union dissolved?
Well, there was a brief period in the 1990s. But what happened, though, is very quickly the Russians were transformed from bad communists into just gangsters.
I remember the Russians appeared in The Sopranos, Russian mobsters.
Exactly.
Well, we're going to fast forward to today. Take House of Cards first. The American president, spoiler alert if you haven't seen the whole thing, he becomes president, played by Kevin Spacey, is talking to the Russian president, Viktor Petrov, played by the Danish actor Lars Mikkelsen.
I'm jealous, Viktor. You don't answer to anyone. You have no real opposition. You know exactly how every election is going to turn out. Well, it's not like that in the United States. I'm not running because I can do things a candidate can't do, like this proposal.
Please, Mr. President, we both know you'll run. Now, whether you win, who knows?
What? A Russian interfering with an American election? Okay, put that aside. Harlow Robinson, again, professor at Northeastern, helping us look at how Russians are portrayed in American culture. What is it about just using the Russian accent? I mean, this must be so insulting to Russians. It just...
Well, I think it is somewhat insulting, although I think Russians kind of have... I've talked to my Russian friends about this. They kind of have a sense of humor about this. They have actually a word they use in Russian to describe this kind of kitsch, klyukva, which really means cranberry that's like on a vine. I don't know. They might take it personally, but I think they pretty much shrug it off as something rather funny. I mean, I think House of Cards... It's obviously modeled on the real personality of Putin.
Well, yes, but then there's The Americans, which is set in the 1980s and reflects true stories of Russian spy families. In the show, you've got the married Russian spies played by Matthew Reese and Kerry Russell. Spoiler alert here, if like me, you're still on season two. They create a family in the U.S., but then really fall in love. And Philip, the dad, wants to come in from the cold. Elizabeth just can't. Let's listen.
I'm going to make a deal where you don't have to talk to the Americans if you don't want to, if you think that'll make you a traitor, but you will come with me and the kids. It won't be exactly what you want, but you'll adjust.
So you're just deciding for both of us?
Yeah, one of us has to.
Why you?
Because we're running out of time. Why can't we do this together?
Because I am a KGB officer. Don't you understand that? After all these years, I would go to jail. I would die. I would lose everything before I would betray my country.
Harlow, your thoughts... Yeah.
Well, you know, it's part of a long tradition. There was a film called Little Nikita, I think made in the 80s, 90s, about a sleeper family living in San Diego. So it's not entirely new. And after all, spy cases have been part of the texture of the Soviet-American relationship for a long time, going back to the 40s, the Rosenbergs, but certainly the realization that they really are out there.
So we have Boris Badenov, Moose and Squirrel, which all the way to the Americans. What else do your Russian friends tell you? Do they have the equivalent?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. They really do not. There were certainly Soviet films during the Cold War period that portrayed Americans in a bad light. One of the classic Soviet films about America is something called The Russian Question, which portrays an American journalist who is sent to the Soviet Union by a Hearst-like editor in order to write a book that condemns communism and the Soviet Union. But instead, he goes and falls in love with the Soviet Union and the Soviet people. But that was in the late 40s. Really, today, they're really not as interested, I think, in portraying Americans. It's not a concern in the media.
Well, isn't that funny? Here we are, almost obsessed with it. Yeah, and they don't care.
Well, I think also you have to remember that American film and culture is so dominant. I was in Russia this last summer, and American films are shown everywhere, and American pop music. And so there's this just huge influence of American popular culture in Russia, despite the fact that the official rhetoric in Russia now is so anti-American.
That's Harlow Robinson, history professor at Northeastern University, author of Russians in Hollywood, Hollywood's Russians, Biography of an Image. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Спасибо.
What you said.
Thank you.
When someone tweeted the film Moscow on the Hudson, your nominees welcome at hearnow.org.